From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. Mainers are headed to the polls today to decide key primary races for the U.S. Senate, U.S. House, and governor. As he showed up to cast his ballot in Newport, Jacob Sinclair says he was motivated to support conservative policies.
I'm mostly looking for, lower taxes locally, a little bit less government intervention in general. there's definitely good uses for our money, but just minimizing overspending.
A Republican, Sinclair says he's supporting Bobby Charles in the GOP gubernatorial primary. As a resident of the more conservative 2nd Congressional District, Sinclair says he feels his views are often drowned out by the more liberal stances of voters in southern Maine. Meantime, some voters say they've faced tough choices at the polls today. Andra Fillmore of Freeport says she found it especially difficult to choose a Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate race due to revelations about frontrunner Graham Platner's past behavior.
What is worrisome is other people that have made it into office who you were led to believe they were a certain way, and then once they got in office, they weren't that person.
Fillmore says her top pick was Governor Janet Mills, who dropped out of the race in April but remains on the ballot. Meantime, voters in York County turned out today to weigh in on local issues and candidates for local, state, and federal elections. Deirdre Klimczak of Kennebunkport says she was most driven to vote in support of using municipal funds to pay for first responders to work during the community's Christmas Prelude event. And she says she ignored all the negative TV ads this primary season.
To be honest, I did not watch them. I listened on radio and I read in newspapers or online. I try not to watch the news, all the different channels and their opinions. I try to make my own.
Some issues and candidate contests on the ballot will be determined by today's vote, while others will take longer due to the use of ranked choice voting. Now, because Secretary of State Shenna Bellows is a candidate for governor this year, Chief Deputy Secretary of State Kate McBrien made the rounds of polling places across the state. McBrien started off in Kennebunk this morning and has made multiple stops on her way to Bangor. She says voter turnout looks strong.
All the clerks have told me there's just been a consistent flow of people throughout the day. And we've even heard what they think are higher numbers than in the past. So I think we've got a really strong interest, great turnout this year.
The last gubernatorial primary in Maine was in 2022, and McBrien says going into the election today, there have already been three times more absentee votes cast. The polls closed at 8 p.m. Central Maine Power customers will see lower bills this summer under new rates approved by state regulators. But as Peter McGuire reports, the relief could be temporary, as CMP is already seeking higher electric distribution prices.
CMP customers should save $8.50 a month on average starting July 1st because the company has paid off storm recovery costs from 3 years ago. Maine Public Utilities Commission Chair Phil Bartlett says the agency is considering a separate rate proposal from CMP.
It is uncertain when temporary rates may be approved or at what amount. Yet at a time when customers are struggling with high costs across much of the economy, I cannot support delaying rate relief.
CMP spent more than $100 million in the aftermath of severe winter storms in 2023 and 2024. The company wants to raise its distribution charges to protect electric poles and wires from future storms and hire full-time staff instead of more expensive contractors. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The local developers behind a controversial music venue proposed for downtown Portland are suing the city over zoning changes that blocked the project. In a lawsuit filed in federal district court, Portland Music Holdings says that city councilors were driven by, quote, personal animosity toward the developers, which until last month included the controversial entertainment company Live Nation. The lawsuit also argues that a temporary moratorium on new venues and a new buffer zone were enacted in bad faith, and that the zoning changes violate the developer's contract and constitutional rights. Last month, Live Nation said it was no longer involved in the Portland project, at least for now, and is not part of any lawsuit against the city. Mending Health is leaving Maine's insurance market in January 2027. Previously known as Taro, the New York-based company first offered plans in Maine in 2023. Patty White reports.
Mending Health offers traditional insurance as well as plans specifically for patients who use direct primary care. It's an increasingly popular subscription-based model for primary care. Mending's plans cover health services not included in subscription fees. The Maine Bureau of Insurance says the approximately 1,100 people covered under Mending will keep their plans through the end of the year. A spokesperson for Mending says the company will continue to offer a technology platform in Maine that helps government and employer-sponsored plans integrate direct primary care into their benefits. Four other insurance companies will offer plans in the 2027 Maine marketplace: Anthem, Community Health Options, Harvard Pilgrim, and United Healthcare. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Irving Forest Products has announced that it's adding a second sawmill operation in Ashland in Aroostook County. The company says it plans to double production and hire at least 80 more employees. The company applied to the Finance Authority of Maine's New Markets Capital Investments Program, which encourages community development entities to find investors willing to invest in low-income areas in exchange for tax credits. Bill Norbert, FAME's governmental affairs manager, says the legislature last year approved a second round of funding for the program, which started in 2011.
This program is one of the few that Maine offers to attract investment in Maine's low-income areas, and it helps spur millions of dollars in out-of-state and in-state investments in Maine companies.
Norbert says five investors provided $42 million to Irving and received $16.5 million in tax credits in return. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll have an analysis of Tuesday's primary election in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.